this song is a good theme for us right now. Because I know there's a lot of concern, there's a lot of anxiety, there's a lot of worry around us. There's circumstances we face that we just don't feel like we can overcome. There's mountains that seem too tall to climb, or it feels like we've been climbing them for a long time, but we just keep slipping and sliding and falling back down, and it's easy to get to a point where we go, I wonder if it's worth continuing to try. I wonder if it's worth continuing to just keep moving, just keep pressing on. Or we face a lot in our lives and it just starts to weigh on us, and we, you know, we're strong, we keep going, but then it's like something else happens and then we just keep going, and maybe you've been carrying that one since last year and now there's like three more things and it's starting to weigh you down, and it feels like having weights around your ankles and getting dropped in the middle of a swimming pool, and you just don't know if you have the strength to get back up to the surface, and it can fill us with a lot of worry. But as I was praying, I was thinking about some of the things I'm worried about. And I realized in that moment as I was praying, God, this isn't my fight. This isn't my fight. This is your fight. You've got me. You're going to carry me. You're going to uphold me. You're going to get me through. And you're not going to just get me through so that I can just keep puttering on. No, you're going to bring me into a life of victory and of triumph. You're going to establish me in power and fill me with joy. God, that is your promise. So you know what, God, this isn't my fight. And it just washed over me and gave me a little bit of peace in this moment. If you're sitting, I want to invite you to stand as we just read the scripture today, the word of the Lord to us from Matthew 6, 25 through 33. Jesus is speaking and he says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than that? Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds. He invites us to look at this picture of the birds in the morning resting on the trees, fluttering around, tweeting, you know the sounds. He says, they don't plan or harvest or store food in their barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all or any of your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies and the flowers of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon, who was a king in all of his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. Seek the kingdom of God first, and above all else, above all those things, live right, live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. We have a memory verse we introduced last week, Philippians 4:6. It says, don't worry about anything. What does it say? Pray about everything. Let's read that together one more time. Together. Ready? Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. For the next few moments today, we're going to talk about this idea of winning over worrying. Why? Because, and this is the main idea for this time together, when you worry, you never win. Would you bow your heads? Close your eyes and pray with me. Heavenly Father, this world is filled with reasons to worry. The enemy is actively working against us to sabotage our faith and to destroy our trust in you. He's throwing things at us, family situations, trials, conflicts, anxieties with school and work, friendships and relationships and finances and all sorts of things. And we know that the truth of the matter is that none of us will make it through this life without facing stressful times. But God, I pray that today, as we open up our word, your word, and as we listen to this message, God, would you speak to us? God, would you meet us in our deepest place of need? Would you replace our worry with the peace that only you can offer? God, I thank you for an awesome spring break, a time to catch our breath and step back from some of the trials we've been facing. But maybe even in that moment, God, even in our spring break, we still felt overwhelmed. Right now you see us, would you pick us up? Would you breathe fresh life into us? And would you remind us that it's not our fight? You fight our battles for us. May we just trust in you. We pray this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Would you bump a neighbor on your way back to your seat and tell them, don't worry, pray about it. Don't worry, pray about it. Go ahead and back to your seats real quickly. We are not only in a time where our physical health is under attack. I just went to like Rigoberto's and In-N-Out and Burgerville all within a very short span of time, and so my heart feels it. I don't drink soda. It's a confession. I also don't drink soda, and I've had 3 in 2 weeks. And yeah, I don't know what's happening. I'm just confessing. It's a safe place, right? Like, I heard gasps and ahs at that, but we're not just in a time when our physical health is under attack in this world. Our bodies are under attack, but we are also under attack when it comes to our mental health and our emotional health too. I don't think I need to explain anything to you guys, right? You know, this is the generation of emotional anxiety and depression and all of these different things that we're facing right now. And as a result of being under attack, what the statistics are showing is that depression, suicide, and anxiety are continuously on the rise. I think I've noticed even after the last couple of years, some people are really struggling to get back into the swing of things on the other side of the pandemic. Like, it has lingering effects. Like, long-term COVID isn't just physical symptoms. It can affect us at a deeper level too. The antidepressant prescriptions have gone up over the years, up over like 300% in the last several years. But this is what I want us to know. Antidepressants don't cure anxiety. They help manage it. They are a tool for us, but they don't cure anxiety. See, if any of you have battled with depression, that you've experienced what it means to feel extreme lows emotionally, right? Let's say this is the emotional center of our lives. And when you're feeling depressed, you're at an all-time low. Sometimes it feels like you don't even know if you can come out of this. And though there are low lows in this life, we also know that this life holds really great highs and joys. And there is so much in this world to expect and anticipate and experience. But when we take antidepressants, it helps us manage our depression by limiting our emotions. And so what happens is you no longer can feel the extreme lows because it's brought you to a dull middle. The problem is when you're at a dull middle, while you may not feel the lowest lows, you also miss out on the highest highs. And so we don't just need antidepressants. Those are not the cure for anxiety. But what I've noticed is that our world, it doesn't know God. Our world is so disconnected from God. And so what we tend not to do is we tend not to go to God first for our solutions. We tend to come up with solutions on our own. And it is amazing. God has given us the ability to problem solve and create and think of different ways to work through things. But he also wants us to go to him first. And now hear me, I'm not anti-medication. I know that sometimes we need medication. Sometimes those help us. Those are part of that process. But also we need that and we need God. So we don't just need prescriptions. We also need prayer. We don't just need medications. We need miracles in our life. We need the miracle power of the Holy Spirit working upon us. He is the one who transforms us and changes us. And I don't just want to manage my emotions and manage my depression. I want to be restored, remade, and renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we're going to talk about this, I want you to know that we do need healing. But healing isn't just physical, it's also spiritual. And we talked about this last week, but spiritual battles require spiritual weapons. This is important because we want you to understand that mental health, yes, it is health. Emotional health is important. And we face a lot of things that attack us. They cause stress. But the solution to that, or the biggest influencer of our stress, number one, every day, day in, day out, is our worry. That's why we need a pain plan. Because if the greatest strategy for stress is prayer, that's what we talked about last week, and I want you to know that the greatest source of our stress is our worry. So what is worry exactly? For the note takers, for those thinking about this, worry is literally worshiping the words of the enemy. I will. Worry is worshiping the words of the enemy. It's meditation on negative thoughts, repeating them, mulling them over. Worry is wasting energy on things that you cannot control. And even though worry is what should lead us to prayer, worry is the and stress is the indicator that it's time to pray. What we notice is that when we worry the most, we oftentimes pray the least. And we know that over time, the more we worry, the less we pray, and the more our worry wears us down, right? You've experienced that. God wants to give us a peace that the world can't offer, a peace that surpasses all understanding, a peace the world could never give you, only He can. God wants to give us peace because all anxiety and worry really are is concern out of control. It's when worry is out of control. It won't be long before your mood, your thoughts, and eventually it seems like the fullness of your life is just spiraling out of control too. Now, let me ask you, is it okay to be concerned? You think it's okay? Yeah, I would say it's very normal. It's okay to be concerned. In fact, I think concern is the proof that you still have a heart. If you weren't concerned about things, if you weren't concerned about someone when you saw something difficult happening in their life or a trying situation or the loss of a friend or a family member or the financial concerns or the water crisis around the world that we are giving to through Speed the Light this year, if you didn't have concern, I would say you didn't have a heart. It would tell me that my heart has grown cold. My heart has grown calloused and hard. So concern, it's a good thing. But is it good when concern goes off the rails and it's all you can do? All you can do is worry. All you can do is be concerned. You can't look past it. No. And I would say, I think concern out of control is evidence that you have forgotten who is in control. We should have slides for these. We do. Don't worry. Concern out of control is evidence that you have forgotten who is in control. We get concerned when we think we're in control because we realize that we can't do it, right? I get concerned. I get worried. I get anxious when I feel like I'm in control because I go, man, I can't fix this. I can't seem to work through this. It doesn't matter how much energy I put into this. It doesn't matter how much I focus on it and fix my eyes on it. I can't seem to change my circumstance. But you don't have to be concerned when you remember that God is in control and when you remember what He can do. God gives a peace that surpasses understanding. And it's a peace that comes only through prayer. Peace isn't just the cure for our stress, but it's also the cure to worry. It's the cure to anxiety. It's the cure to fear and doubt. It's the cure to our insecurity and our uncertainty. And we want you to know that anything that costs you your peace is too expensive. Peace is too high of a price to pay. If you find yourself handing over your peace for worry, remember that you are meant to exchange your worry for God's peace. You are paying way too high of a price. We mentioned it last week, but worry, just like stress, is an emotional sin. It's the sin of not trusting God. It's the sin of trying to be our own God again and handling and taking care of our own situation. It's essentially us, though we may not say it out loud, saying, I got this. I got this. And what's funny about that is when I say I got this, I also go, geez, I don't got this. And that's what stresses me out. But it's the emotional sin of not trusting God. It's not just in our memory verse, but it's also in the scripture that we read at the beginning of this time right after worship. Jesus says over nine times alone, do not worry. It is one of those things that Jesus repeatedly over and over again tells us not to do. And why is that? Number one, it's because worry is heavy. Worry is heavy. Proverbs 12:25 says, worry weighs a person down. It is a heavy burden. Come on. It is a heavy burden. This is why He tells all of us who are feeling heavy and weighed down by life to come to Him. He wants to replace your worry and your stress with rest. And how many of us know we need rest? Because we're not meant to carry this burden. We're not meant to try to hold it all. We are meant to carry one thing, and it's our cross. Jesus says this is the one thing we carry daily. We pick up the cross of saying, I'm counting the cost of following Jesus. I'm carrying the weight of rejecting the world and stepping away from that and trusting Jesus only. But that's the only thing we carry. And the amazing thing about that is when we carry our cross, God carries us. Worry is something I'm learning. Worry is me-centered, where worship is God-centered. Worry is me-centered. It's me saying, I got to take care of this. I've got to handle this. This is what's going on in my life. How am I going to take care of that? How am I going to navigate this situation? How am I going to navigate that trial? How am I going to get done with sports and get my homework done and have some time with my friends and family? How am I going to make sure that my finances are in order? And thinking of you guys, how, when I become a young adult, am I going to be on the right track with school and work and finances and take care of that and my family? And we just worry, me, all the things going on in my life. But worship is God-centered. Worship happens when we take our eyes off of ourself and our concerns here, the things that are right in front of us, and we instead fix our eyes on God, and we fix our eyes on who He is and what He says and His promises, and we don't just worry about the current problems in front of us. We fix our eyes in worship on the promises that God has laid ahead of us. Worry is all about me. Worship is all about Him. And what I'm learning is you cannot worry and worship at the same time. You can only do one or the other. And if you are worrying, you might just be worshiping your worry. We have to learn how to give God our cares, our concerns, and our worries, because as I just said, we are not created to carry them. And I don't know exactly where it's come from, but I think we've started to create a couple false theologies. One of those is the theology that if we're saved, we can't struggle. If I'm saved, if my faith is truly real, if I'm truly a follower of Jesus, I shouldn't struggle. I shouldn't face difficult things or trying circumstances. And so what happens when we think that way is suddenly we go, if I'm facing these struggles and trials, either my faith isn't real or I'm not being obedient to God enough, and we fix our eyes back on, again, me, what I'm not doing, what I should be doing, instead of fixing our eyes on God. Let me tell you this, one of the most important things you can ever learn is in your faith, your faith is not built on how faithful you are to God. It is entirely built on how faithful God is to you. He is always faithful. He promises to always be faithful. And it's never been about you getting it all right, because He never will. It's always been about His faithfulness to you. We think we have to be strong. I can't be weak. I can't, because if I'm in Christ, I should be strong. I should be powerful. I shouldn't be facing any of these things. But it's clearly not true, because in the Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, it says, God's strength works best in my weakness. So I've come to the conclusion, as I've tried to control everything, I've realized, and I'll see how many of you guys are with me, I can't control anything. How many of you guys are realizing that? I'm just not in control of anything. When I try to control stuff, it never seems to work my way anyways. So what I'm going to do is I'm not going to stress out over anything outside of my control. I'm not going to stress out because I can't change anything. So that means I can't change anything except for me. I'm not going to stress out about what people say about me, what people do to me, what people don't do for me. I'm not going to think about all of those things. I'm not going to stress out about that. I'm not going to worry about what I have or what I don't have or what did happen, what might happen, or what I'm concerned might never happen. I'm not going to worry about all these theoreticals and imaginary situations that I cannot control. The only thing I can control is me. The only thing I can control is how I respond when I face these different situations. And so when I feel stressed or I feel worried, my response is always exactly the same. My strategy for stress is prayer. Why? Because prayer, a conversation with God, talking to God, prayer brings you into the presence of God. And when you are in the presence of God and you realize who God is and how powerful He is, when you realize that you have a heavenly Father who is all-powerful and almighty over all circumstances and all situations and is wielding His power for your good and your benefit, God's presence brings peace. I don't have to worry about those things anymore because I have the peace of God. Prayer brings you into God's presence, and God's presence brings us peace. My job here today is not to tell you what to do. My job is simply to tell you what God says and to tell you who God is. Jesus is the one who tells you what to do. And Jesus says in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. This verse, when we read it earlier, Jesus is talking to his disciples. Sorry, the Matthew passage. His mentees, his students, if you will. You guys are all students. And he says basically this, paraphrasing it. He says, do not worry. Do not worry about your everyday life. Is your life not more important than what you are worried about? Can worry make you live longer? Jesus knew the science before the science had been done. No, worry cannot make you live longer. Worry will kill you faster. So he responds. He says, no, it cannot. So what do you do? This is what Jesus says. He says, so do not worry. Do not worry. Right after Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, this is in verses 5 through 18, he then tells them not to worry. And obviously, this is an important topic because if Jesus, back in the first century, is spending time with his disciples, they're his followers, he's teaching them everything they need to know in order to follow him and walk out their faith. If he was saying this to his disciples back then, and you and I are sitting in this room, and we call ourselves followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus right now, if Jesus was telling his disciples not to worry, then we know that that same command goes to us today. Remember, worry is the sin of not trusting God. And I get it. You hear something like, just don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it. And it seems easier said than done, right? And I get it. It seems like it doesn't make sense. But because we're emotional human beings, and you know, we're bound to feel some stress at some times. We're bound to feel some worry at times. And I think Jesus understood this because he felt everything we feel. The Bible tells us that he was fully human in every way, which means he experienced emotions and he experienced what it meant to be taunted by others and to be mocked and falsely accused. He knew all about that. So I think he would know what it means to have imperfect human emotions and how to walk through those perfectly. And he knows that we're going to worry at times. But I will say this. There is a difference between worry and concern. And you need to know that Jesus isn't saying we shouldn't be cautious. He's not saying we shouldn't think about things, or he's not saying we should be careless or unconcerned about others. He is not saying that we should not have concerns, but he's saying that our concerns should not have us. Because when you let your concerns have you, they grip you. They become chains around you. They tie you to your place and you can't move away from them. You don't feel like you can get away. You're stuck. You're stagnant. But when you come to God with your worries and your concerns in prayer, that is the door that opens the possibility to receive freedom from him. When your concerns have you, you get stuck. Second point for you, concern will control you if you let it. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your concerns once and for all on him, for he cares about you. What does that mean? It means that we are not meant to carry all the weight that we carry in our lives, but we're invited to put all of it upon Jesus, to let him carry all of it, to let him carry us. Once and for all. That means you don't cast your cares on God and then try to go on and then go, I'm just going to take those back now. We don't come back for them. Once you pray to God, once you hand it to him, once you let go of it, you let go of it. And you let God be God and you trust him to be faithful. It means we shouldn't let our concerns capture our minds, control our moods, drive our decisions, or control our life. And I hear people oftentimes in the church, they say the battle belongs to God, right? I was saying, when I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high, right? Oh God, the battle belongs to you. But we worry like it all belongs to us. We say the battle belongs to God, but we worry like it all belongs to us. And when once we've wasted all of our strength and wasted all of our time worrying, we find ourselves exhausted, burnt out, overwhelmed. And how many of you end up just feeling completely underrested? When we could have been praying the whole time. We could have been receiving peace the entire time. Concern will control your life if you let it. Number three, you cannot control your reality, but you can control your reaction. Listen, you might not be able to control every thought that comes into your mind, but we can control how long we let them stay there. You might say, I can't control my thoughts. I just have intrusive thoughts and these different things that come into my mind and fill my mind, and they just kind of take over. But God says that we have been given power to take every thought captive by His Holy Spirit. He has given us the power not to let those intrusive thoughts that come in dwell in our minds, but take them captive and make them obedient to Christ. What that means is we don't meditate on the worry, we meditate on the Word, and we let the Word of God replace the worry and the fear and the concern we have in our hearts. Meditate on the Word of God. Take every thought captive. Because if worry is wasting time, effort, and energy on things that we can't control, then I don't want to let it control my life. I don't want to see worry control your life. And no, you also cannot control what happens to you in your life. I know many of us have things happen to us at school. Things happen to us in our families. There is a barrage of circumstances that are going to take place around us and to us. We prayed it in the very beginning, and we acknowledge that there is an active enemy against God who wants to destroy your life and destroy your faith. Things are going to happen to you, but you don't have to worry about them. You pray about them. We can't control what happens to us, but we can control what our mind focuses on. I can control my mood. I can control myself. It all comes down to a simple choice. Will I let worry control me, or will I control my worry? And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have the ability to do that. 1 Peter 4, verse 7 says, "Think clearly and control yourselves so that you will be able to pray." Think about that. Think clearly and control yourselves so that you will be able to pray. It seems like there's a spiritual truth here, a realization that when we worry, we cannot pray. That the more we worry, the less we pray. So control yourselves so that you can pray. And I care about you guys. I care about your generation. And I don't want to see your entire generation go through this life beat up and worn down because prayer is your last resort when it was meant to be your first. I'm tired of seeing people try every other thing, every other possible solution. Maybe this will fix it. Maybe that will fix it. Maybe this will be the thing that takes care of my worry and takes care of my problems and takes care of the situation I'm facing. When Jesus said that all of those things would fail you, but He promised that through prayer He never would. He promised He would never fail us. And yet we go to all these other things before coming to God as our first response. So how do we start winning over worry? You need to be reminded through what Jesus said in the passage that we read in the very beginning. We're going to break down Jesus' words and take a couple principles away from it. Number one, don't worry because you're worthy. Matthew 6:26, Jesus says, "Aren't you worth more than they?" Aren't you worth more than what you worry about? When something is valuable to you, do you take care of it? You're like, "Not yet, I haven't had to buy it." When you work for something, when you earn it, when you save up some money and you get something that you really care about, you take care of it. You're invested in it. Listen, God promises that no matter what, He will take care of you. God promises that you matter to Him. You're worthy of His love because you are worthy of Jesus coming to this earth and dying on a cross for you. The promise there is that Jesus gave up His life so that you could become God's son or daughter. And I want you to know that there is a Heavenly Father who sees you as a son or daughter, and what perfect Heavenly Father will not take care of you in every way? You do not have to worry if He is in charge. God promises to never leave you, never forsake you, never let anything overcome you or overwhelm you, because He's got you. Don't worry because you're worthy. Number two, worrying is worthless. Matthew 6:27, can worry make you live longer? Jesus is saying that you can be doing something more positive and more productive with your time. Something far better with your energy and with your effort. You're spinning around on this worry, on this anxiety, over and over and over, burning yourself out, growing exhausted because your body is filled with adrenaline and anxiety and stress. And you know what happens? Once you're stressed long enough, you get sick, you get ill, your body breaks down. You don't have to experience that. Worry has no benefit to you. It's a waste of time, effort, and energy, and emotion. It accomplishes nothing positive, and nothing is worth worrying about. Jesus says it's worthless. Worry gives you nothing to do, and it takes you nowhere. It's just this hamster wheel we feel like sometimes we can't get off of. But you can. Worry is worthless. 3, worry won't make it better, and it will make you worse. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 30, he says, "Won't he," this is speaking of God, "won't he do much more for you, you of little faith?" Why do you worry? What do you worry about? What's gripping your mind? The truth is that a lot of worry leads to a little faith. And he didn't say it would lead to no faith. I know there are many people who believe in God, but they still spend a lot of time worrying. No, worry limits what you believe God can do. Worry brings your perspective of God down and makes him small. Because worry makes your problems bigger than your God. And the size of your faith is deeply connected to the size of your God. When your faith is little, God is little. I have this box right here. And this is a box full of worry. What's to worry about? Didn't we just list a bunch of things to worry about? What are you worried about? Why don't we go through that list? What's to worry about? We carry this box full of worry around. It's heavier than I would like it to be. You see this thing right here? John Rowe built this, by the way. We carry around this box of worry. We go, oh my gosh, there's so much going on in my life. There's so much that's stressing me out. I can barely carry it, and we feel overwhelmed, and then you can't pick anything else up because you're so worried about so much going on. And when your worry seems really big, your God seems really small. And what happens is you say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, I worship him and I sing to him. And yeah, I trust him and I read the Bible. But when your God is small because you have little faith, what happens when your God is put up against your worry is your God gets swallowed up by all of your worries and all of your concerns, and it chokes out all of your faith. But what happens when we flip it around and we let our God be big and we let our worry be appropriately small? There are some worries in this world. There are some stressors. There are some things that hit me and catch me off guard, some things I can't control. But when I see my worry appropriately small and I see my God appropriate large, I can say, God, I trust you with these things. I trust you with these concerns. I'm not going to worry about it because I trust that you're big enough. I trust that you love me enough. And I trust that God is strong enough to carry me. So just let God carry you. I wasn't planning on doing that, but that's good. Worry isn't going to make things better, guys. It's only going to make things worse. It's going to make your problems seem really big and your God seem really small. Worry doesn't make it better, but it will make you worse. 4, I love this about Jesus. Simplifies it for us. Don't worry. Don't worry. Summarize the remainder of the passage. He says, don't worry about your life. Don't worry, because God knows what you need. Don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So don't worry. In this story, Jesus says, stop worrying, stop worrying, stop worrying 3 times. And all throughout scripture, we find the phrase, do not worry. And we find another phrase, do not be afraid. Worry is the sin of not trusting God. But walking in courage and not being afraid, that's the faith of believing that God is who he says he is. Is there not more to your life than worry? Do you not believe that God will meet all your needs? Why worry about tomorrow? You can plan for tomorrow. You can think about the future. You can be wise and get ready. You can be a good financial steward and use a calendar. You can do those things, but don't worry about it. You trust God today. And each and every day you wake up, you make the decision to trust God today, to trust that God is enough for the worries that you face today. The way we win over worry is not by trying to talk ourselves out of it or telling ourselves not to do it. It's by realizing that we don't have to worry because we are worthy, because worrying is worthless, because worry doesn't make it better and it makes us worse. And it's by remembering that Jesus said, "Do not worry." He said, "Do this," and this is one of my life verses. This is the reason that I believe I see God's blessing in my life near the end of that passage. Verse 33, "But what do you do? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added and provided for you." Somebody say first.
First.
When God is first, everything else will be fine.
Yeah.
When we seek God first, it's going to be okay. How do we seek God first? Through prayer. Don't worry, pray. That's our memory verse. Three words: don't worry, pray. So God can't be second place. He's got to be first. And he can't just be the first because we say he's first. We proclaim he's first. He's got to be functionally first. How do we know that God is functionally first? How do we know he's number one in our life? It's that we pray first. When we worry, we pray. It's I pray before I worry. When that's my first response, when he's the first one I go to, when he's the one I trust, I know he's first. If that is not your first response, then God might not be first in your life right now. But you're always invited to invite him to be Lord of your life again. Every moment, every day, we can make the decision to put him back on the throne. If worry could fix things, we would have no problems. Because there is a lot of worry in the world. There would be nothing to pray about if worry could fix it. But the fact is, worry can't fix it, but prayer can. And that's why we pray first. So remember that you never win when you worry. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads, close your eyes. If you're here, you're new, or you haven't given your life to Jesus before, maybe you're saying, "Man, I want to worry less, and I want to pray more. I want a relationship with Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus and give him my faith. I want a God who is bigger than my worries. And the last thing I want to worry about is where I'm going to spend my eternity." With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if that's you, I want you to slide your hand up. You would say, "I want a relationship with Jesus. I want to pray for you. I want to invite you into the greatest decision that you could ever make, the number one decision this year." Simply pray with me and agree. "Jesus, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us for the sin of worrying, for pursuing everything else first. God, would you be first in our life? Would you be the Lord of my life? God, would you heal my worry? Would you forgive my sin? Would you take away my anxiety? And would you carry me? Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can have strength through my worry, so that I can know you and honor you and grow in relationship with you for the rest of my life. Thank you for this promise. Thank you for this gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen." Now for everyone else, if you're here and you would admit, "Khalil, I struggle a lot with anxiety. I struggle a lot with worry, and I simply want peace." If that's you and you want us to pray for you, we don't have to know what it is, but if there's something that's causing you to worry, if there's something that's filling you with anxiety, I want to invite you, would you just stand up right now? We want to pray for you. In this Pulse family, a lot of us are facing this, and so give a moment for you guys to stand up. Yeah, thank you guys for standing up. We want to pray over you and pray for worry and anxiety. So if you're a Compost fam, would you just kind of lay a hand on their shoulder? This is a symbol of just saying, we as the body of Christ are with you, and it's trusting that the Holy Spirit is here and with us and meeting needs right now. So if there's someone standing, just gather around them and let's pray together and believe God for great things. Jesus, we know that we have a lot of things that weigh us down in our life. There's a lot of reasons to worry, Lord. There's a lot of things that just consume our mind and consume our thoughts. But by your Holy Spirit power, God, I pray you would break in on their lives right now, that you would take their circumstances captive. God, I know you might not rescue them immediately from this situation, but you promise that you'll be there with them through it. You promise that you'll give them new perspective. You'll change what they're going through. You'll change who they are through this. And God, right now, I pray for all the different circumstances going on, all of the different worries, God. Our worries seem so big, but God, would you help us to see them small enough to realize that you are bigger. You are all powerful. You are stronger than any circumstance. You are more powerful than any chain that holds us. You are stronger than anything the enemy could ever throw their way. And so right now, God, we worship you. We thank you that you're so good. We thank you that you're so big. We thank you that you love us so much that you sent Jesus to die on a cross to redeem us and to live the perfect life we could not live so that we could be restored to you. And right now, Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would stand in the gap for them, that you would make a way, that you would change this circumstance, God. And we trust you right now. We trust you right now. We commit them to you. And God, we thank you that even as we're praying, you are already working. You are already moving. You are already bringing peace. You are already calming our minds and calming our spirits because you've got this. Thank you for that, Jesus, in your mighty name. Amen. Go ahead and grab a seat real quick. Last comments. If you think about it, you can pray about it. If you talk to yourself about it, you can talk to God about it. Prayerlessness is sin. And sin leads to spiritual weakness, unmet needs, anxiety, ingratitude, fear, anger, sin. When we pray, we relieve ourselves of the responsibility and the worry. When we pray, we're letting God be God, and we no longer are trying to be. It's not your job to worry, it's your job to ask. It's our responsibility to ask in the name of Jesus. So when we forget prayer, we give up the opportunity to be free. And I want you to remember that every day. You experience worry, you experience concern, that's your key to pray about it right then. Pray about it right then. It doesn't have to be a 5-hour prayer. Just say, God, I'm worried about this thing. Please take it. God, I'm worried about it. Take it. Take care of it. Put it down. Thank God. Walk away from it and trust him. Everything God is and everything God has is available to you through prayer.